Let us open our Bibles tonight to Acts. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to bring my message tonight from the last verse in this chapter, verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. I'm going to speak from that verse, but let's read the entire chapter, beginning with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. I began looking at this verse last week after reading the blessing that God gave Moses for Aaron, the high priest, to pronounce upon the nation of Israel. He was to pronounce this blessing. The scripture says, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, this is what God said to Moses. You tell Aaron, your brother, the high priest, this is what he is to say. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In that blessing, as I looked at it, my thought was everything that a person could possibly want or need is contained in that blessing. There's nothing left out. Everything that any person, I don't care who he or she is, could possibly ever desire is all contained in that blessing. Aaron, the high priest, he was typical of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could only say, this is what caught my eye, he could only say the blessing, Aaron, and the high priest that followed after him through the history of that nation. They could only say that blessing. It's a beautiful blessing, but the high priest himself could not actually bless anyone. He had to say, the Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. But look to our text tonight. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son, Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. God did not send his Son into the world to say or to pronounce a blessing, but to bless. That's what the verse tells us. Remember, our Lord himself said this in John chapter 3. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I have 3 points for us tonight from this verse of Scripture. First, consider the you in this verse, unto you. Consider the you of this text as it demonstrates God's grace. God's grace. Who does the Apostle Peter mean when he says you, unto you? Well, look above in verses 12 and 13. We read this just a moment ago. He said this to them. Peter saw it. He answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus. Now notice, here are the you. You men of Israel, here are the you. Unto you, this is what Peter said, unto you, first God, having raised up his Son, Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you. Who are the you? Well, they are the men of Israel who delivered up and denied the Lord Jesus Christ. They are those who denied the Holy One, the Just One, that is Jesus Christ our Lord. And notice, they desired a murderer. When Pilate, as Peter says, he was determined to free the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that he was brought to him because of the envy and the malice of the high priest. He was determined to let him go. But Peter says, you desired, you delivered up the Just One, the Holy One. You desired a murderer to be released unto you. And that Christ, the Just One, the Holy One, be crucified. If you look back to Acts chapter 1, just a minute, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I know we're familiar with the words of our Lord here when he spoke to his disciples just before he ascended back into heaven. He said, but you, Acts 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, where does he begin? Where are they to begin? In Jerusalem. In the very place and to the very people who had cried out, crucify him, crucify him. This is where you are to begin. And Peter says, unto you, you men of Israel, who delivered up the just one and desired a murderer to be released unto you, begin at Jerusalem, begin to preach, to witness to the very ones who had delivered up and denied and cried for the crucifixion of his son. John Bunyan, in his writings, he speaks about, he uses this term, the Jerusalem Center. The Jerusalem Center. And by that, he meant the vilest of the vile. A Jerusalem Center. A man, a woman who was actually involved in the crucifixion of the Holy One, the Just One, the Son of God. Does this not speak to us of God's grace? God's grace? God's purpose of grace includes some of the vilest of sinners. No one, I don't care who he is, no one because of his sin should ever judge himself beyond the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond the grace of the Lord God Almighty. I don't care how vile a person is, how sinful, how depraved a person may be. No one should ever judge themselves beyond the grace of God. His unmerited favor. He saved the chief of sinners. You remember that right off the bat. Right off the bat, he saved the chief of sinners, didn't he? Saul of Tarsus. So that now for the last 2,000 years or so, men have been able to preach just what I finished saying. The vilest of the vile. Look to Christ. Unto you. That's what Peter's. Unto you. You Jerusalem sinners. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 just a moment. And then we'll come back here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now Corinth was a very wicked city. It was a very wicked, a pagan city. In fact, there was a phrase to Corinthianize a person was to make that person even more sinful. And notice as Paul's writing to this church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, he said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Not all of them. Not all of them, I'm sure. And none of them probably were guilty of all of those sins that he listed there. But what we see is unto you. That is, unto you, Jerusalem sinners. God saves sinners of all types, doesn't he? He saves some in their youth. He saves some who are older. He saves some who are educated, some who are uneducated. Some who are rich, some who are poor. The grace of God extends, doesn't it, to all of God's people, no matter where they may be, unto you. So, notice back in our text tonight, we know from the Scriptures, from the book of Acts, that many, a large number of these Jerusalem sinners were saved. Unto you first, the Apostle Peter said. If you look in Acts chapter 2, you're familiar with this, but Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. There's 3,000 of these Jerusalem sinners. All right, look also in chapter 4 of Acts, verses 1 through 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. That's 8,000 souls in just a day or two that were saved, these Jerusalem sinners. So when Peter in our text tonight says, unto you, who's he talking to? He's talking to men and women, no doubt, who had denied the Holy One, delivered him up to be crucified. But notice also they're identified in verse 25. Ye, this is who he's talking to. Not only are they identified as those who had denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer, but you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. The you were the children of the prophets and the fathers with whom God made a covenant. In his seed, in thy seed, Abraham, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Christ is Abraham's seed, in whom all of Abraham's spiritual seed are blessed. Now, he took Abraham out into the night and told him to look up into the sky. Can you just picture how many stars he saw that night? How many stars? Oh, millions, no doubt. This, his spiritual seed includes both Jew and Gentile. And so the book of Acts begins with mainly Jews being saved until Acts chapter 13. You remember it is in Acts 13. Let's look there just a moment. When the Gentiles came together to hear the word in Antioch of Pisidia, it says, and the next Sabbath, verse 44, Paul preached the gospel. Look at verse 38 and 39. Inside the synagogue, this is what he preached. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, in that synagogue, there were Jews, of course, but there were also proselytes. And in verse 42, it said, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles, here's the Gentiles, besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. We want to hear this message. We want our friends. We want our neighbors. We want our kinfolks to hear this message that we just heard, that by this man, all who believe are justified from all things from which you could never be justified by the law of Moses. It says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath, a week later, came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And most of these were Gentiles, the whole city. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. They spoke against the gospel, didn't they? That's what Paul was speaking. He was preaching the gospel. They spoke against the gospel, contradicting and blaspheming. Now notice, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first. We have that in our text, don't we? First have been spoken to you, you Jews, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So the you of our text, first of all, were those who had denied the just one. They were the children of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with whom God had made that covenant. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So the first part of the book of Acts, many, many Jews were saved. But from Acts 13 on to the end, we see Gentiles, many Gentiles being saved. So let's look back at our text. You, unto you first. Now I want us to look at these two words. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus. His son, Jesus. Now, I want us to think about this. The word you, I wanted that to illustrate to us the grace of God. Do we see that? I mean the vilest of the vile, to you. To those who crucified the Son of God. God's grace. We don't ever get over that, do we? God's grace. It's amazing grace. It's marvelous grace. Grace abounding to the chief of sinners. But now, I want us to see these two words, the name, Son, his Son, Jesus, as it demonstrates God's faithfulness. The sending of his son, Jesus, fulfilled a number of Old Testament prophecies, beginning with in the Garden of Eden, the seed of the woman, and all the way through. Notice it says in verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, all of his prophets, they spoke of him, of Christ. How many times have we pointed this out, and yet it does us good to hear it again? The message of the Bible is Christ. It's a hymn book. And men make a big mistake when they use the Word of God to teach a number of various things that may be good and fine, but the message of the Bible is Christ. Christ and him crucified. All the holy prophets, Peter said, they've all spoke of him from the beginning of the world. Many prophecies. And Peter gives them one prophecy that was a very well-known prophecy to all of them in verses 22 and 23. And this is found, of course, in Deuteronomy chapter 18. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Moses said, God's going to raise up a prophet from your brethren, from the nation of Israel, He's going to be like unto me. Remember when that delegation from Jerusalem went out to ask John the Baptist, who are you? Who are you? One of their questions was, are you that prophet? What prophet are they talking about? They're talking about that prophet that was promised who would be like unto Moses. Now, let me just give you several ways that God's Son, Jesus, was like unto Moses. First, God spoke more intimately with Moses. The scripture says face to face than any other prophet. Any other Old Testament prophet, God spoke more intimately with Moses, face to face. With his son, like Moses, God was more intimate with his son, Jesus, who always knew and did his father's will. A second way, God ordained Moses to deliver his people from bondage and lead them through the wilderness. Like Moses, God ordained his son, Jesus, to deliver his people from the bondage of sin and lead us through this wilderness world. Number three, Moses was a prince and a lawgiver. Like Moses, God's son, Jesus, is the prince of princes, the king of kings, and he is the lawgiver to his church. He gave us two commands, didn't he? The command of baptism, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whosoever believeth not shall be damned. He gave his church that command, and also he gave us the command of the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. Like Moses. Moses was a prince and a lawgiver. Fourth, Moses was faithful as a servant in building the tabernacle. I mean, God gave him the exact dimensions and instructions of that tabernacle, didn't he? Had to be built exactly, made exactly. The materials used, everything had to be done exactly like God told Moses. And he, in the book of Hebrews, we are told that he was faithful as a servant in building that tabernacle. Well, like Moses, God's son, Jesus, is faithful in building his temple, this spiritual temple, this temple of which every believer is a stone, a rock in this tabernacle. And number five, Moses, like Moses, died alone upon the mountain. Like Moses, God's son, Jesus, died alone, forsaken of God, upon the mountain, Mount Calvary. Now, before I go to the third point, I want to say this. We must be impressed. We must be impressed with the boldness and the certainty with which Peter preaches. You know, early on in the Gospels, Peter, he confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." But it seems that with the other disciples, when Christ died, when Jesus died on the cross, they lost hope. Because we know two of them on the road to Emmaus, they told the Lord, they did not recognize him, but they told him this, "We trusted that it should have been he which should have redeemed Israel." We trusted that it should have been he which should have redeemed Israel. But you notice now after his resurrection, it is no more we trusted that it should have been him. No, he is. He is risen from the dead, and we are witnesses of his resurrection. He speaks emphatically, assuredly, dogmatically, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, to bless you." And that's my third point. Consider the blessing the text speaks to us of. And this demonstrates God's goodness. We've seen God's grace, God's faithfulness, God's goodness. God, unto you first, God having raised up his Son, Jesus, send him to bless you. There are many deceived people who believe that God sent his Son, Jesus, to bless people with health and wealth, and that's all they're interested in. But Peter didn't say anything here about God sending his Son to bless you with health or wealth. No, no. But what he did say, he sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You know, at one time, I think Peter himself thought that the blessings of the Messiah's kingdom would be material because he wanted to sit on the right hand or the left hand in the kingdom that he thought the prince would set up in this world. But now, after the death, after the resurrection, after the coming of the Holy Spirit upon him, Peter sees, Peter knows, Peter preaches that the blessing that God sent his Son to bless you is a spiritual blessing. It has nothing to do with wealth, and health, and the things of this world. Now, God does bless us. There's no question about it with those things. I would not deny that. But if that's all a person is interested in, they're going to be sadly deceived. They are sadly deceived because the blessings of Christ, God sent his Son to bless us with, are spiritual blessings. They have to do with sin, have to do with iniquities, have to do with transgressions. God, look at the text. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Turning us away from our iniquities involves two things. First, he had to purchase our pardon. To turn us away from our iniquities, he had to purchase a pardon for our iniquities, for our sins. Keep your place here, but look back to Psalm 32 just a moment. Psalm 32, and Paul quotes these verses in the letter of Romans in showing how that God justifies by faith, but here in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, God sent his Son to bless you and turning everyone away from his iniquities. To do that, first of all, he had to purchase our pardon. Now, this word here, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That word forgiven literally means lifted up. Lifted up. Reminding us that God lifted the sins of his people and laid them upon Christ, the substitute. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is whose sin, rather, is covered. Now, that word covered, of course, means atonement, doesn't it? Remember that mercy seat? It covered the law which we had broken, the law which cried out for our destruction, the wrath of God upon us for breaking that holy law of God. But the mercy seat covered that. He's a cover for us, right? In him we're safe from the justice of God. And notice the next verse, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Every one of those things, transgression, sin, and iniquity. God sent his Son to bless you and turning everyone away from his iniquity. Now, I said to do this, Two things are involved. First of all, he had to purchase pardon for us. But second, he must apply pardon to us. We call this turning. This is the word he used, right? To turn, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. This is what is referred to as conversion, isn't it? Conversion, the turning. And I'll ask you to turn to one other place before I finish. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, because here we have an outline or example of what is meant by turning, conversion. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and beginning with verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost, so that you were ensamples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Do you notice there, first of all, how God's Son blessed them? And this is the same for you, if you're one of his children. First of all, he sent his gospel to them in power and in the Holy Ghost. Now, the gospel goes out. It's preached and it goes out. But God sends it. God blesses it to his people, and it comes to them in power and in the Holy Ghost. Number two, they received the word and followed the Lord. When the gospel comes in power, a person receives the word. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now they turned. The gospel came to them in power. They received the word and they turned. They turned from their idols to serve the true and the living God. And number four, they waited for God's Son to come from heaven. Verse 9 and 10. So God sent his Son to bless you in turning everyone from his iniquities. Has God blessed you? Has he? Has the gospel come to you in power, demonstration of the Holy Spirit? Have you received the word? You received Christ? You were born not of blood, not of the will of man, nor of the flesh, but of God. Have you turned? Have you turned from your idols to serve the true and living God? Are you waiting for his Son to come? God blessed you. God sent his Son to bless you. What a blessing, right? What a blessing. I pray that the Lord will bless these words to all of us here tonight.